Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome to another podcast of St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I hope you're having a great day today. I hope wherever you are that you're feeling relaxed and at peace and the presence of God in your heart and soul. And I'm excited to be in studio today with my good friend, Pastor D.A. Bennett. How are you doing today?
Pastor Stephanie, I am doing just great. I love what you said about people experiencing the presence of God, because if they're taking the time to listen to this, it's really not us that we want people to hear.
Yeah, we
want God to speak through us and encourage their hearts. And so I just am in agreement with and echo your prayer that we hope wherever you are and listening, that you really are experiencing the presence of God today.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good, every day is a good day for that. So we've been having fun in this series.
We have been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Sunday mornings have been a lot of fun, and the podcasts have been super fun as we are reflecting on the sermon series, Brave, Facing the Future with Courage. So we started out with our first week of Bold Faith, and we looked at the story of Peter and Jesus both walking on the water. We talked about how in order to face the future with courage, if we're going to be brave, then God gives us these special tools to help us do that. One of those is bold faith. And we really looked at how Peter had really, in my mind, this incredible faith to get out of the boat in the middle of the storm to walk on the water. But then Jesus says, nope, you got small faith.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that just rocks my world about what faith is. Because I often think to myself, wow, if that is what small faith does, if small faith lets you walk on the water.
Yeah, I'm still mustard seed.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm still at very little at that point.
Oh my gosh, it's just kind of crazy. And then the second week was so fun to hear you preach on Samson and radical strength. And, you know, it was so good for us to think about what it is that causes us to feel cut off from God.
Right.
Like when our, like with Samson, when his hair was cut off and he felt disconnected from God, but then the beautiful line of, his hair grew back.
Before long, his hair began to grow again.
Yeah, I just love that. And so it was so good to hear about how we gain that radical strength, but we don't gain it just today. The best time to gain it is yesterday. And so we need to be working on it all the time. So tell us a little bit about what we just heard on Sunday.
Okay, so this past sermon was called Adventurous Courage. Again, looking through Brave as an acronym, bold, radical, adventurous. Mm-hmm. And I love the word for that.
Yes.
A lot of times people think, well, all you have to do is have bold faith. You know, get out of the boat.
Right.
But then other people are like, no, it doesn't just need to be bold. It needs to be strong, too.
Yes.
It really needs to have foundation. But if you have bold faith and radical strength, you've got all you need. No. There are more tools that we need in our tool chest for this journey of faith that we're on.
Yeah.
And I love the terminology of adventurous courage.
Mm-hmm.
And part of how I look at that is when we think of adventure, we don't know exactly what is going to go on. I mean, if you were to take a raft trip down a river, you know there are going to be rapids somewhere.
Yep.
You know there's going to be calm waters other places, but it's kind of that spirit of adventure. Let's see what's around the next turn. And oh my gosh, here we go. and to have the courage to go ahead and follow God through whatever we're following God through. But the idea of adventure also means that sometimes we don't have the right attitude. You know, sometimes people can be real pessimistic in the face of things. I know some people, that's just kind of their normal personality, and we're not going to change that just by preaching a sermon or, you know, doing a podcast.
Yes.
But we really, if people can capture this sense of adventure, I do have to confess, when I was writing the sermon over and over again, all I could think of was the old Stephen Curtis Chapman song, The Great Adventure.
Oh, I love that song.
And, you know, I thought, no, we need to sing that Sunday and everything else. But I love how in the song he says, you know, I'm following after God. I'm just drinking my coffee every day like I do.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I see there's this huge frontier in front of me.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody, it obviously wasn't himself, I heard somebody say, let's go.
Yes.
And that's what we can all use. We can all use somebody in our life that says, let's go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about adventurous courage. We had, mm-hmm. I thought, some good points in the sermon.
Oh, yeah.
And the
awesome.
First was, and by the way, I do love that we call these tools, that's a word you came up
yeah.
with. Here are the tools you need. And so how do we get this sense of adventure? How do we get courage in that
mm-hmm.
way? And the first instruction, looking at the story of Moses leading the children of Israel to the promised land, and all of a sudden, here they are in the face of the Red Sea,
mm-hmm.
and they can't move forward. And then they look behind them, and here comes Pharaoh's army. And God certainly protects them with the cloud and the pillar of fire. But the first instruction when the people cry out to Moses, 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 you got to help us, Moses.
Right.
And Moses like, all right, Lord, Lord, you got to help
yes.
us, Lord. And the Lord says, get moving.
I love that.
Get moving. Comment on that.
I just love it that God just says, get going. Like, I've already told you what we need to do. We're going to take one step at a time. Just get going. And I think that is part of the place that people really get held up when they're trying to face the future, and you want to face the future with courage, but instead you're facing it with fear or anxiety
right.
or whatever it is you're facing with. And there's two things that come to mind to me. A lot of times when people get stuck at this point in the process and they just don't want to get moving.
Right.
A lot of times what happens is we get paralyzed by the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
Like we think, well, what if this happens? Or what if it doesn't go right? Or what if I fail? Or what if?
Right.
And I will never forget one of the pastors I worked for years ago. He would always tell us as a staff to always ask the question, wouldn't it be great if,
uh-huh.
and then fill in the blank, which is a completely
yeah.
different
right.
question than, well, what if? What if this happens? What if this happens? Instead, you put a different spin on it, and you look towards the future, and instead of looking at all the negative things that possibly could happen, you say, well, wouldn't it be great if, and then you fill in
yeah.
the blank. And it's that difference of, just like you were talking about a minute ago, pessimism versus optimism.
Right.
It's like, how are you going to choose to look at the future? A lot of us get paralyzed when God says, get going, and we're like, well, what if? If you want to take the first step, why don't you start asking the question, wouldn't it be great if?
I love that. Yesterday, you gave a mission moment, and it's like, that was the last, you know, almost half of my sermon, and now I'm sitting here going, she looked at my notes. She's cheating, teacher. She copied off my paper, because when I'm thinking, you know, what are the things that paralyzes, I wrote paralysis of analysis.
Oh, yes.
That sometimes we just analyze things and analyze, and
yes.
it's exactly what you said. It's like, well, what if this happens?
Uh-huh.
Or what if this happens? Or what if this doesn't happen?
Uh-huh.
So I really like that. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great if?
Uh-huh.
That's really helpful. So what's mm-hmm. your second thought on this?
Well, so I feel like a lot of times God, we want him to give us the whole picture.
Uh-huh.
And really throughout this whole sermon series, we've looked at stories, and we're going to continue to look at stories where God doesn't give the whole picture.
Right.
Like when you're talking about Peter getting out of the boat, Jesus doesn't say to Peter, yeah, get out of the boat. You're going to walk on the water, and then you're going to fall a little, and then I'm going to catch you, and it's all going to be okay. So
yeah.
now get out of the boat. He doesn't give him the whole picture.
Yeah, or you're going to get out of the boat, and you're going to be walking. You're going to think you're the best thing since sliced bread, and then a wave's going to smack you in the face.
Right.
You know, he doesn't give him the details.
No, the only thing, and it's so similar to what God is saying to the Israelites, the only thing Jesus says to Peter is, come.
Yeah.
You know, Peter says, is it you? And he says, yes, come.
Come.
And that's all he says. And it's the same thing that God is saying. Get moving.
Get moving.
Like, go. And I just think that that's so important, that when we sit around and wait for God to show us the buffet of what's going to happen, we're just stuck. Like, sometimes you need to just go.
When we talk about bold faith, I remember a professor of mine in seminary, and I actually have a friend that this is how I describe him. If God says, run through the wall, this guy takes off at a dead sprint and he leaps at the wall because he knows God's going to put a door or a hole or a window
uh-huh.
somewhere. He's not going to hit the wall. Just get moving. You
right.
may not have to run.
Right, right.
But get moving.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So one of the other things that I think of
yeah.
is the whole uncertainty factor. Is it really God?
Right.
You know,
right.
Is this just me? Am I dreaming? You know, wouldn't it be great if God suddenly invented airplanes to help us fly across
right.
the Red Sea?
Right.
That's probably me. Wouldn't it be great if the wind just blew?
Yeah, right. The east wind.
And it did.
Uh-huh,
and
exactly.
So that's really a very cool kind of thing. Any other thoughts you have on that? Or are we ready to move on?
Yeah, let's see the next one because I love your next point.
Okay, well, the second step, if the first instruction given to Moses is get moving, the second step, as I listed it, was you got to do something.
Yeah.
And with Moses, what the Lord said was stretch out your hand and part the waters.
Yeah.
Divide the sea. So, you know, how, if we're getting moving, what is something we can do? If we are facing this uncertain future with fear and panic and, Lord, we need a huge dose of courage, what's something we can do?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things we can do is that we can evaluate the way that we are talking about the future.
Yeah, say more about that.
Well, I just think it's an interesting thing. I would consider myself a pretty optimistic person. In fact, people often make fun of me for that. But I like to look towards the future with a sense of confidence that God is going to do what he says he's going to do.
Right.
And so, but a lot of times we get caught up in negative language. Mm-hmm. And negative language affects everything. It affects how you look. It affects what you say, obviously. It very much affects how you think. And so I think it's important for us as we are taking the step to do something, that if you don't really know what to do, like in terms of when they're walking through the Red Sea or getting ready for it to part, they didn't really know what was going to be waiting for them on the other side.
Yeah, they couldn't see even the other side, probably.
They had no idea. And so to say, well, I'm supposed to do something, but I can't even see what's happening, then one thing you do have control over is how you talk. How you talk about the future, how you talk about God, how you talk about the people around you, how you talk about yourself. And this idea of having a positive, wouldn't it be great if kind of attitude, I think is something we all can do. What are your thoughts?
My first thought is if you're going to do something, small steps are okay.
Yeah.
That people think, oh, I suddenly got to jump out of the boat.
No, you know, exactly.
We don't have to do that. Uh-huh. We can take those small steps. But in order to take those small steps, what we have to know is what direction are we moving.
Right.
And the future doesn't have that reverse gear. It's never going to go back.
I loved that point yesterday.
And one of the things that I always try to remind myself and encourage other people with when they're like, oh, what if this happens? The reality is we never have and we never will control the future.
No, like never. Yeah, you know, and it's probably a really good thing we can't.
There are some things that we can look at and we have a good understanding of the direction things are going. Here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's frightening. Just take a little step.
Yeah.
Just take a little step. But understand God is the one who already knows what we're going to encounter in the future. Yeah. And if God is saying, get moving and this is what you do next, we can always trust when God says, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And I thought of all kinds of examples of times when in my life and experience or just other sermon illustrations where someone was told to do something and you do it and it doesn't have the outcome that you anticipate.
Right.
And so you kind of stop and you think, okay, God, you said to do this.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing that the fact that this didn't happen did not surprise you.
Right.
What are you teaching me? What are you doing? Because sometimes God just wants our faithfulness.
Yes.
God just wants our obedience.
Yes.
So do this. Even if it's a small thing, just do it.
I love that.
If someone's facing the future and they're just like, oh gosh, I'll never go to the grocery store again. And God says, no, go to the grocery store.
Yes.
What do you do? Just go in and buy milk.
Right, exactly. Go get some gum.
don't feel like you have to fill your whole shopping cart.
Yeah.
You know, put on your mask, put on your gloves, whatever you need to do.
Yes.
But do.
And go buy
do
one
something.
Thing.
Do
I love
something.
That too. It reminds me, my husband used to say the phrase a lot, and some of you will know who are listening. My husband was actually my youth pastor. Before he was my husband. And so I learned.
Before he was your boyfriend.
Before he was my boyfriend, too.
Lest anybody's wondering the rest of the story.
That's right.
She was 18.
That's right.
Graduated from high school.
Up and up. That's exactly right.
Had parental / supervising pastor permission.
That's right. It's a good story. We should tell that sometime. But one of the things I remember him saying in lessons that he would teach us in the youth group was that he would say, just do the next right thing. Just do the next right thing. And that really is just taking the next right step in the right direction. And you don't have to tackle all the steps in front of you.
Right.
Just have to tackle the next right things. I think that that's really good. Any other thoughts you have on that?
The other thought that I had is simply, again, if we can look at the future as an adventure and not the woe is me, the sky is falling. You know, look at it as an adventure. God, I don't know what you have planned next, but help me to stay focused on you.
Well, and don't you think that's the perfect thing for us to hear right now? Because, you know, as DA and I are doing all this, we are fully aware that we're telling you these things in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
In the middle of something that really, I mean, other than when polio happened, most people have never experienced something like this because it happened even longer ago than that. So it's not some pie in the sky kind of thing that DA and I are saying. This, we know that we're in the midst of a pandemic, and God is still calling us to have an adventurous spirit as we look towards the future.
I think part of adventure, and I wish I'd thought of this because I would have said it in the sermon yesterday. I kind of like it. I hope it comes out right. Is when you're going on an adventure, you don't always know what the destination is, and you don't always know when it's going to end. And I think that's been one of the frustrating things in this pandemic is when people said, oh, it's going to be 8 weeks. We've got to, you know, do school
so
distance learning. And you're like, wow, you know, but I can handle 8 weeks. And I think mostly we did. But when that threshold of time came and went, and it looked like things were getting worse instead of better, you know, again, that's a reminder, we don't control the future. But okay, so God, you haven't forgotten about us. What are you doing? And you know, certainly with the start of school, I don't think it's people trying to force things to happen. I think it's the, I think one of the changes is people are learning to live with this differently. So do this.
Do something. Exactly.
So the next part, and this is what I love, and actually if you read the scripture that we did from Exodus, I believe it was chapter 14, it may have been 15 that we read it in, God actually says, here's what you're going to experience before he ever tells Moses, get moving and do this. And that is, you are going to see the glory of the Lord revealed. And I try to imagine, I can have probably a vivid imagination sometimes, what it must have been like to walk through the Red Sea.
Seriously.
I mean,
I know.
Walls of water on either side. Yeah. And, you know, can you see the creatures of the sea swimming there? You know, can you see, oh, here's what's on the bottom of the sea. You know, I thought, you know, it would be rocky, and it's not, you know, whatever it was. But here's, you know, the walls of water and the dry land. And then, you know, they get to the other side, and it's, okay, now spread out your hand again.
Yeah.
And the waters covered, we know it covered the Egyptian army, but it covered the dry land that God had created. And one of the things that is interesting to me is the way that Moses was instructed to start and the way he was instructed to finish are the same thing.
Same thing,
Stretch out your hand, do this, get moving.
Yeah.
And so I love that whole idea. So, okay, I'm going to start preaching, so I'm going to be quiet.
Yes.
You jump in.
Oh, you should
preach.
About
the glory of God revealed.
Well, I love it. When I think about the walls of water, don't you wonder how many people were like, running through going, this is amazing, like the walls of water, and like they were excited. And then how many people were having trouble taking every next step, because how intimidating would it be to see the walls of water and you're wondering at any moment, are these going to crash down at the wrong time? You know, I have friends, family members, people in my life who I would put in either one of those camps. Like I've got certain friends who'd be like running through it, excited. You even mentioned in your sermon that, you know, little kids like poking at the water.
And somebody going, don't touch it.
Exactly.
You'll bring the whole thing down.
I could totally see it. But don't you wonder, like, how God would want us to go through the sea? Would he want us to go through afraid every step that the walls are going to come crashing down? Or would he want us to run with a reckless abandon and be like, yes, like, because we're seeing the glory of God in this moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're right in the midst of God's glory and we totally miss it because we're afraid or we're frustrated or whatever. We miss it.
Or because we're expecting walls of waters and God's revealing his glory in another
a different way.
I mean, from my littlest days of being a child, I remember sunrise or sunset, and you just see the sunbeams kind of pouring through the clouds. That has always made me think that is the glory of God.
Yes.
That is the glory of God.
Yeah.
But other times the glory of God is not so easy to see, it's not so easy to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But the glory of God is, not only did he bring the people out of their slavery, not only did he part a sea and dry it with wind, but when the waters cover back over again, it cut off their path.
I love that part.
They cannot go back.
Yes.
And that's the sense of adventure we get with God, that once we step into this and God says, now watch this.
Yeah.
And it, your past is probably pristine. Mine's, a little cloudy sometimes. But to know, I'm going to take care of that. You'll never go back.
Yeah,
to that
I loved
again.
It when you said that in your sermon about he cut off the path back to slavery.
Yeah.
That was so telling about, okay, freedom lies ahead of you. Slavery was behind you, right?
Come
and so
on.
Let's keep going, because God does. He blocks off that path when you step out in faith. And that's why he wants us to face the future with courage, because he's got a future of freedom ahead.
Right. And if we can get to that place, it's like, okay, God, I don't know where this is going to end.
Yeah.
I see water on both sides. I see dry land. Uh-huh. I'm going to trust you. It's dry all the way
to the other side. Yep, exactly.
And just having that spirit of adventure.
Yeah.
So just so good to hear that story, because over and over it does teach us of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the awe-inspiring, I am God, I can do anything I want with my creation. So water, whoosh, boom, there you go. That's all great. But then when we think of courage, you can't hardly think of courage sometimes without thinking about fear.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I believe is that courage is stronger when we're in community.
Yeah.
Courage for us, it kind of rises up within us when we know I am not in this alone, and not just thinking in terms of God being with us, but having other brothers and sisters that are with us.
That is so true. Well, and I loved that point in your sermon about that with community. I was remembering because I'm taking my daughter to school in the mornings, and she is an eighth grader going into junior high, which basically to me is like walking into the battlefield.
That's why I don't believe in reincarnation. Nobody ever wants to go back to eighth grade again.
No, never. Like, who would ever want to do that? And I'll never forget, it's been making me think of when my dad used to take me to junior high, because he was the one who would give me a ride. And every day, almost every single day of my junior high 2 years, he would say before I got out of the car, he would say, "Well, Steph, today you need to throw life a curveball."
Okay.
And I remember, it was his way of saying, do something that's unexpected for people today. Be the unexpected. But the thing that gets me about that and what you're saying about community is that every time I got out of the car when I was going into the battlefield of junior high, I didn't feel alone, because my dad was there and he had told me that. And even though he was driving away, I felt like, okay, my dad believes in me. He says I have something to offer. I'm going to throw life a curve and there I can go. Because it's those people in our lives that help build us up, that even when we have to face something, what seems to be like on our own, we're not alone.
Right.
And that's important.
Right. One of the stories I thought of, and I didn't put it in the sermon, I'll share it now, was my middle child, younger son, Jonathan, he's a baseball player. And for the first several years that he played, I was his coach. Some other dads and I coached a team, and one dad decided he didn't want to do that anymore, and it kind of split our team up. And I told the other coach, I said, I just don't have the energy or the resources to start a new team.
Yeah.
And, what are we going to do? Well, in the meantime, he was talking to another coach, and he said, look, he goes, my son would love to play for y'all, but Jonathan and Kate are they're a package deal. You got to take them both. You don't just get one.
Gotcha.
And so we got on this team. Absolutely love the coaches. Some of the greatest men that I've ever been around. Great baseball coaches.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the second year we played with them, Jonathan got invited to play for another team. The other guy we played with had already left.
Okay.
And so Jonathan was the only one on this team that was going to go to his high school.
Oh.
And this other team he was being invited to play for are all the guys that are his teammates now.
Yes.
And so, you know, he said, I'd really rather play for this other team. And I said, yeah, I understand that. But then, you know, kind of as a point of growth, I said, it's okay that you do this, but you have to tell your coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our last game, and, you know, they're all talking afterwards and stuff. And so we're driving home, and I said, so did you tell the coaches? He goes, no, I was going to tell them later.
Yes.
And I said, well, you can't do that, because they need to know if you're not coming back so they can get somebody that takes your place.
Yes.
And so somehow, kind of a strange series of events, we actually had one more game. So that wasn't really our last game.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, look, you have to tell your coaches tonight.
Yeah. It's now or never.
And I knew the reason he didn't tell them was because he was afraid,
yeah,
and he was going to be sad.
Yeah.
And I knew those men, they weren't going to say, well, after all we did for you,
yeah,
you know, that's just not who they were.
Yeah.
And so I went with him, and I think that helped him know I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was – you know, he was eighth grade when,
yeah,
he's doing this.
Yeah.
Very, very emotional.
Yes.
You know,
it's hard.
Crying. And they just hugged him and they said, oh, you know, we really understand. We know you want to do that. We're going to miss you, but good luck to you.
Yeah.
But the courage for him to go tell them was when I was with him.
Exactly.
It wasn't, you know, when he should have done it the first time.
Yeah, yes.
He was afraid.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll send him a text or something.
Right.
But it's like, no, you have to tell him face to face. And that was part of his development and part of helping him to have that courage. I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
And great story. I actually got a text from the head coach this weekend, and he said, you know, could JB, that's what they called him.
Yeah.
Could JB help coach this other team I'm doing?
Oh,
we need some help.
That's
and
cool.
I said, well, we'll talk to him. And,
yes.
But that whole strength in numbers,
yeah,
courage in community.
Yep.
And that's why one of the things we did Sunday, and I'll throw this out as a cheap announcement, we have cards outside our worship center with pictures of the children in our church, just asking us to pray for those kids for the school year. I got mine yesterday, and it's like, ooh, I wonder who I got. So, oh, wow, I never would have expected that one.
I love it.
But as a community of faith, that's how we help our children grow courageously, as we pray for them.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening and you think, hey, I would love to pray for one of the children there at St. Andrews, we still have a lot of children available that need somebody to pray for them. And if you contact the church office, we'll send you that card. Or if you are in the building or on site sometime, you can just pluck one off the wall yourself.
Yeah, it's such a great way to be in prayer. In fact, I just heard from one of our members this morning about how she had put the picture of this little girl on her desk and how excited she was about the adventure that they were about to take the school year, and how she would be praying for her. So that was just really neat. So I hope you'll do that. Well, friends, we're just really glad that you have joined us for another podcast, and we're excited to be in this series. And next week, we'll be looking at what it means to have vertical hope, which I'm really excited for people to hear about what it means to have vertical hope. So I hope that you will tune in Sunday morning. You can check us out at 10:30 on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, or in person with a mask on at 10:30. But then also make sure and listen to our podcast again next week. We're so thankful for you. We continue to pray for you, and we're going to look forward to seeing you again soon.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.